News and information.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with the National Basketball Association playoffs. The Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets both posted big road victories Thursday night in Philadelphia. The Celtics staved off elimination with a 95-86 win over the Philadelphia 76ers. This series is now even at 3 games each, and the decisive Game 7 is Sunday in Boston. After missing his first 11 shots, Boston's all-star forward Jason Tatum scored 16 points in the fourth quarter, including 4 three-point shots in the final 4 minutes and 14 seconds of the game. Talk to us, Jason!
You want to win so bad, you want to play so well, and, you know, shots not falling, things just not necessarily going your way, and you want it so bad. But trying to stay present, trying to stay in the moment, trying to do other things.
Jason Tatum does a lot of things on the basketball court. Boston's head coach, Joe Mazzulla, talks about Tatum's performance.
He's had multiple games this series, and when he's at his best, he doesn't need to score. And I thought his communication to his teammates, I thought his defensive intensity, and I thought just his force trying to drive the ball kept him in the game. And so he plays with a level of poise regardless of how the game is going.
Marcus Smart, the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year for 2022, also played with poise in Philadelphia. He had a team-high 22 points for the Celtics.
They're going to have nights where they're slow, and that's when you lean on other guys. And tonight was one of those nights, and, you know, they just kept telling me to be as aggressive as I needed to be and just continue to make the right play. Sometimes that was for me, and that was sometimes for others. And then, you know, JT did what he did late and picked it up for us.
Meanwhile, Cameroonian big man Joel Embiid and guard Tyrese Maxey led Philadelphia with 26 points apiece. We'll hear from both players now. First, the 2023 MVP, Embiid.
We had a lot of wide open shots. We didn't make them. We stopped moving the ball. And I don't think I touched the ball the last 4 minutes of the game.
Joel Embiid and teammate Tyrese Maxey now turn their attention to Sunday's Game 7 in Boston.
We got to go out here and we got to fight. It's going to be a war. And, you know, one thing I will say that is if I have to go to war on the road, Game 7 in Boston, I would want to go with this group. And I know we got some fighters. I know we got some resilient guys. And, you know, I'm ready to get it on.
Out west, the Denver Nuggets routed the host Phoenix Suns 125-100 to advance to the NBA's Western Conference Finals. The Nuggets won the best of seven series 4-2. In Game 6, the Nuggets were once again led by their two-time league most valuable player, Nikola Jokic, who tallied another triple-double, 32 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists. Jokic says Denver's defense was key to the victory.
They score 100 points. That's something that, especially at their place, that, like I said, we were just aggressive. The mindset was really, 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 really on high level and of aggressiveness, focus. We know every detail, so we didn't make many mistakes, and that was why we won the game.
Jamal Murray added 26 points for the Nuggets.
This is not a team where you have to force to get yourself going. You know, you can trust the pass, you can trust the cut. And, you know, we've been playing like that for years. So it's just nice to know the continuity behind a lot of our plays, and everybody knows Everybody knows what to expect from each other.
Denver's head coach, Michael Malone, says his team remained aggressive even after building a big lead in the first half, knowing there's more work to do.
We had the right mindset coming into the game and for 48 minutes throughout the game, and that shows maturity. And very proud of our group. Our goals, we weren't satisfied winning the first round. We're not satisfied now. Our goals are much bigger than getting to the Western Conference Finals, but we're definitely heading in the right direction.
Kigali, we are here for the BAL Finals. For the best of African basketball. The Sahara and Nile Conference delivered their verdict. Top eight teams on the continent are chasing the Holy Grail. Who will be the next BAL champion? It's game time.
It's game time, Kigali. The Men's Basketball Africa League playoffs tip off May 20th in Kigali, Rwanda. In the opening BAL playoff game, Stade Malien of Mali will take on the Cape Town Tigers of South Africa. I asked Tigers captain Peter Prinsloo if he was surprised that Stade Malien, a debutant in the BAL, topped the Sahara Conference standings.
That conference was a complete, chaotic mess with how it ended in a five-way tie with five teams at 3-2 and one team at 0-5. And then, so the way the BAL's point system works is the teams that are all tied, the point difference is on those teams together. So none of the games against Kwara Falcons mattered for those teams. It was just between those five teams. And based on what happened, I think Stade Malien had one of their games where they just blew a team out by a lot of points, and it managed to give them the nod on point differential. But you know, if you might look at it from a basketball aspect and really the seedings, we might have gotten the most favorable seeding, because you know, definitely Reg and a team like ABC Fighters on that side, and even AS Douanes might be considered a stronger team. So it was a surprise, but that's how the point system, you know, the point differential works on, you know, BAL's tiebreaker. So, you know, maybe it was a favorable matchup for us to end up in fourth place on the other side and, you know, head into this quarterfinal matchup. But, you know, obviously they're a good team. They're very athletic, like to run and, you know, use their athletic abilities. So we got to, you know, make sure we keep those guys boarded down and do the things we have to make them play structured basketball and really make tough shots over good defense, and not let them just get into a running game where they're running up and down the floor and attract me.
In the other Kigali quarterfinal matchups in the Basketball Africa League playoffs, Rwanda Energy Group will host Al Ahly of Egypt. AS Douanes of Senegal will go against Ferroviario de Beira of Mozambique. And 2022 BAL finalist Petro de Luanda of Angola will play Abidjan Basketball Club of Ivory Coast.
Sporty greetings. This is Liz Mills, head coach of Abidjan Basketball Club of Cote d'Ivoire. You are listening to Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. And check out some of the other VOA programs at voaafrica.com. Facebook.com. Samson O'Malley joins us once again with another extra spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson!
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the wrap of Africa sports for this week in Kenya, where all is now set for the fourth edition of the World Athletics Continental Tour Gold Meeting, the Kipkino Classic, scheduled for this Saturday in Nairobi, Kenya. Jamaican sprinter Shelly Anna Fraser Pryce delighted fans last year with her 100 meters win and will hope for more of the same this weekend. She spoke of her expectation at the meet shortly after her arrival in Kenya.
Last year I started my, I ran my first 100 meter here, and this time I'm starting my season here. So I'm really looking forward to it. Last year I had a fantastic time. The energy and the atmosphere was phenomenal. So now that there's no COVID, I'm sure everybody will be out in their numbers. Honestly, I'm looking forward to just competing well. I've not been since September last year. So this is me just coming, seeing where I'm at and having a good time and execute, and I'm sure it will be fantastic.
Kenya's Ferdinand Omanyala has already promised to run an African record in the men's 100 meters as he looks to improve his own 9.77 seconds from Nairobi in 2021. Zambia's Muzala Samakonga will light up the men's 400 meters track. American Kenny Bednarek, who won a silver medal at the 2020 Summer Olympics and at the 2022 World Championships, says a win in Kenya will be a moral booster for him as the athletic season begins.
I mean, a win here would mean a lot. Right now I'm just trying to progress with my block starts when it comes to 100 meters. So if I can hone in and just get in the zone and get it right, and, you know, edging him out would be a plus. And I mean, I would be happy to see that. But I know it's going to be a tough competition, and I'm excited to see what happens.
Staying in Kenya, Kenya Sports Cabinet Secretary Ababu Nawamba has announced that there are proposals already in place to increase the payments to athletes who fly the Kenyan flag on the international stage. The Cabinet Secretary affirmed that the athletes will enjoy better rewards as part of the new revamped system. He sampled upcoming international events whereby notable and renowned athletes such as Olympic champion and marathon legend Eliud Kipchoge, African record holder Ferdinand Omanyala, and world 5,000 meters champion Hellen Obiri, among others, will participate.
We have just revised the rates of rewarding our athletes. I know that you've been receiving some rewards when you win Olympics and world championships. You're preparing to go to the championships in Hungary in August and the Olympics next year. We have made a total overhaul of the reward framework, and we will be announcing very soon a new framework of rewarding our world beaters, and it will be an attractive new framework.
And now to Nigeria, where the Nigerian government has approved the sum of $5.2 million for the construction of a new National Sports Medicine and High Performance Center at the Moshood Abiola National Stadium, Abuja. The Nigerian Sports Minister, Sunday Dare, said the National Sports Medicine and High Performance Center is to improve the overall performances of Nigerian athletes. He said the lack of such facilities had been one of the drawbacks of sports development and athletes' performances in the country.
Global sports development practice has high performance center as a major component of conditioning its athletes. It takes your athletes beyond just raw talent to some level of sports science and precision. And the lack of that scientific input into our sports development over time has not helped us to reach the maximum podium performance that can be attained by our athletes.
Away to South Africa now, where Caster Semenya, South African middle distance runner and winner of two Olympic gold medals, says she's not thinking of leaving the tracks, at least not for now. Despite being pushed off the tracks by World Athletics' controversial testosterone regulations, the 800 meters champion insists that she remains part of the sport that brought her fame and happiness and is not considering retirement.
I don't need to retire from track. As much as I was coming in, I didn't introduce myself. That should be how you portray yourself, you know, in the history of sports. So for me, running has always been my passion. You know, I'm passionate about it. I love it. So I can never take a mic and say I'm retiring. I'll always run, whether competitive or not. So, no, I'm never retired. I'll never retire.
In netball news, the 2023 East African Netball Championships gets underway this weekend. The tournament, which begins on the 13th of May, will be staged at the Nyayo Stadium, Nairobi City in Kenya. Uganda will be represented by 3 women clubs and 2 men clubs. Daphine Adong and Shakira Nakasa of Makindye Wejionye, one of the netball teams representing Uganda, speaks of their participation at the East African Championships.
We are so prepared in a way that we have been training so well and hard for this championship. So I believe the hard work we've put in is so enough for us to go and win the championship.
NIC Netball Club and Prisons Netball Club, being that they have been in the league and Prisons is the defending champion for the league, I think they are going to give us a challenge. And the other teams from other countries, I doubt... Because we have not seen them while they are playing, but I think only those 2 teams, they will give us a challenge.
And now to football, where Africa's 4 representatives at the 2023 FIFA Under-17 World Cup are now known, following the conclusion of the quarterfinal matches at the CAF Under-17 Africa Cup of Nations in Algeria on Thursday night. Senegal, Burkina Faso, Morocco and Mali will fly the continent's flag at the Global Showpiece event after the 4 sides seal their places in the semifinals of the competition being played in Algeria. Staying with football news, Esperance de Tunis will go head-to-head with Al Hakli in a CAF Champions League semi-final first leg match at the Stade Olympique Hammamdi Agribi in Tunisia on Friday. The Tunisian champions got into the semi-finals after defeating Algerian side JS Kabylie 2-1 on aggregate in a quarter-final tie, and they are undefeated in their last 4 games in Africa's Premier Club competition. Esperance and Al Hakli have met 18 times in CAF competitions since 2007. The second semi-final will see Wydad Casablanca of Morocco play Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa. Sundowns were the last sub-Saharan club to lift the trophy in 2016, and Wydad, Esperance and record 10-time title holders Al Hakli have won the Premier Africa Club competition twice each since. And now to Ghana, where the West African country has this week been looking back to commemorate the May 9th, 2001 stadium disaster, when some 127 football fans died at the Accra Sports Stadium in what was and still is Ghana and Africa's biggest stadium disaster. 2 of Ghana's most successful football clubs, Hearts of Oak and Ashanti Kotoko, were involved in a league match at the Accra Sports Stadium when the unfortunate incident happened. 22 years on, Ghana Sports Minister Mustafa Usif says he is committed to ensuring that a May 9th kind of disaster never occurs again in Ghana.
As Sports Minister, I'm committed to ensuring the safety of all athletes and spectators attending sporting events, and we must take the necessary steps to make sure that such tragedy never happens again.
In basketball news, the Cape Town Tigers basketball team is one of the teams that qualified from the Naya Conference of the Basketball Africa League for the playoffs of the Basketball Africa League to be held in Rwanda later this month. The Tigers finished in the top 4 of the Naya Conference held in Egypt to qualify for the playoffs for a second season running. Captain of the team, Peter Prinsloo, says now that they are a season wiser, they intend to go even farther this time around.
We had our mindset from go when we started training, 2.5 months ago, that we want to be playing in the finals for a BAL championship. So it didn't matter who we were going to face in the quarterfinals, semifinals, whatever it is.
And finally, in tennis news, Rwanda's national women tennis team is in intensive training sessions as preparations for the highly anticipated Billie Jean King Cup due in Kigali from June the 5th to the 11th take shape. A 5-woman squad has been training together at the Kigali Ecology Club since Monday as the girls look to impress on home soil and make sure the cup stays in Kigali.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, I am Chinedu Ofo in Washington. To help you start your day, VOA Africa brings you Africa in Brief, roundups of the latest news from across the continent. We'll start your day off with news you need when you need it. Find Africa in Brief at 0400, 0500, and 0600 UTC wherever you listen to your favorite VOA Africa radio program.
World football was in mourning at the start of 2023. On January 3rd, international football legend Pelé was buried in Santos, Brazil. Pelé died December 29th, 2022, after a battle with colon cancer. Pelé had fans all over the globe, including South Africa, where he crept into the hearts of millions of South Africans in the build-up to the 2010 World Cup hosted by the Rainbow Nation. Pelé supported an African bid to stage the tournament from the very beginning, encouraged by South Africa's first democratic president, Nelson Mandela. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Darren Taylor reports Pelé made many friends during numerous visits to South Africa after apartheid ended in 1994.
Cruzou para trás, dominou, fez o passe do Pelé, furou, voltou, Pelé emendou lá dentro!
Augusto Palacios says he fell in love with football and with Pelé when he watched him score a hat-trick against France in the 1958 World Cup semi-final. His 8-year-old eyes gazed at the TV screen in awe as the 17-year-old Brazilian tormented the French. Pelé's team would go on to beat Sweden in the final, with Palacios later finding a place in the midfield of Peru's national team.
In 1973, I had the opportunity to play against him. And obviously, I meet him, obviously, in Argentina. In Buenos Aires, also, I meet him when I was the team manager, Mafana Afana, in the World Cup in France, and also in Confederation.
Palacios was 21 when he lined up for his Peruvian club, Sporting Cristal, against Pelé's Brazilian side, Santos, in a Copa Libertadores fixture. The Copa Libertadores is South America's equivalent of the African Champions League. Palacios says he was surprised by Pelé's relatively small stature.
His height was 1.73, but the way he jumped over the ball, looking at the goal he scored in 1970 against Italy, the heading goal, it was unbelievable. The body aspect, the strong with the ball to protect the ball and the dribbling, unbelievable. And remember also,
he laughs and says he couldn't touch Pelé on the field and had to make do with handshakes and backslaps off the pitch.
His background is unbelievable. He never lost his passion or humble aspect from where he came, because he came from very, very poor family. He was a very, very poor person, you know, who was selling a newspaper and magazine and clean shoes in the street. Age of 13 years is when...
According to the Peruvian, it says a lot about the kind of person Pelé was that he chose to remain loyal to Santos rather than moving to a top European club. One can only imagine, says Palacios, what Pelé could have achieved with Real Madrid, for example. Yet, says Palacios, Pelé's name still became synonymous with the beautiful game, and he won every trophy he ever competed for.
5 Copa Libertadores, 2 Intercontinental Cup, 3 World Cup, top goal scorer, 1,000, 2,000 goals. He was my hero. I can't copy him, but I can enjoy watching him.
Another South African footballing personality who interacted with Pelé is Kaizer Motohong, the founder of top club side Kaizer Chiefs. In 1968, Motohong was playing as a 24-year-old striker for Atlanta Chiefs in the United States.
Santos drove hard against the Chiefs to keep their lead. Pelé, number 10, maintained his standing as the world's number one player.
Grainy archive footage shows Pelé bursting through the Chiefs' defense to smash the ball into the net past an onrushing goalkeeper. Motohong says he remembers almost every second of the game.
The occasion itself was unbelievable because we knew that we're not only playing against a team called Santos, we're playing against the greatest of all time.
He says the tens of thousands of fans in the stadium had obviously come to see Pelé, and Pelé only, and that was just fine by him.
They beat us 6-2, and he scored about 3 goals. I must say I was very happy because I also scored 1 goal in that game.
As a football administrator, Motohong met Pelé on many occasions, especially during the 2010 World Cup in South Africa.
He was an unbelievable character, on and off the field. But off the field, was such a humble person, you would not believe that he was a top athlete throughout the world and somebody who was seen as the best in the whole world.
Motohong says of all the famous political figures, musicians, authors and sports people he's met, Pelé remains the only one he places on the same pedestal as Mandela, a global icon, but with the humanity and humility to make everyone around him feel significant. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Thanks, Darren. Pelé's impact and influence was big in South Africa and throughout the African continent, as we hear now from the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
The whole of Africa saw Pelé as one of their own. Being a black South American, they embraced him. He traveled down to the African continent a lot and lots of time. He came to Nigeria 4 times in the 60s and 70s. He came with Santos to play against Nigeria's Green Eagles in 1969 January, and he still came back a month later to play in Benin City. And then in 1976, Pelé came to Ibadan in southwestern Nigeria to teach school children the art of playing football. And then 3 years later, in 1979, he was in Kaduna, northern Nigeria, where Santos also played against Raka Rovers. So it was an amazing feeling for those that were alive that time to welcome the legend. Africans see him as the greatest ever, undoubtedly the best that will ever be. And that's why even in Ghana, one of their greatest footballers, Abedi Ayew, was nicknamed Pelé. So many people didn't know. You would have thought his name was Abedi Pelé, as he was fondly called across Africa. That is the kind of influence that Pelé held among Nigerians and our Africans, to be precise. His death, of course, has devastated many, but we'll continue to remember him for years to come.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com.
Sporty greetings. This is Fisayo Dairo, chief football writer at ACLSports.com, and you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And that wraps up the May 12th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good
good weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.